You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Suns, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your co-host and solo host today, Brendan Kleen. Evan Sidery, normal co-host, is out of town for some Thanksgiving plans. He'll be back in town starting early next week, and we'll be back to our normal schedule Monday through Thursday, recapping the Timberwolves game on Monday on through the 11-day road trip that the Suns are embarking on this afternoon. But today I am going to just look through quickly the Pelicans game, some of the big takeaways from that, and what was eventually a disappointing loss, a 24-point loss, 115-91. On Friday night at home, before taking some mailbag questions that I got over at rSuns, the Suns subreddit. So let's get into it. I'm going to actually just go through the three biggest stat lines and then the three biggest storylines of the game to kind of break things down a little more easily. So the first stat actually is one that Suns coach Jay Triano pointed to a couple times in his post-game media availability last night, and that was that in the first half, well, the number is 27, so let's break that down and say that the first half, the Pelicans shot 9 of 15 on threes, so sort of unsustainable. Maybe you look at that, and some of those were too open. The Suns had a little bit of trouble, especially with Davis, Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, both capable of making that shot. Kind of stretches things in an awkward way. Triano said that at halftime he went in and told the team that there's no way that they were going to shoot that well in the second half, and he was completely right. So they shot 0 of 12 in the second half, finishing 9 of 27. It obviously didn't end up mattering too much, considering the Pelicans did lose, or the Suns did lose by 24. But that shooting goes to show that if you can compete for those 24 minutes, then you're going to have a shot. And so that's something the Suns clearly did not do last night. The Pelicans had a clear advantage, really, no matter who was in the game. So when they went to their bench, they had Jameer Nelson running things as sort of the backup point guard. They were able to bring in Darius Miller, who's been on a hot streak, shooting the ball from deep, and really didn't miss a beat. Even Tony Allen was able to kind of enforce his will, as he tends to do. But you would just hope that a young Suns team like this one, and it was something Triano pointed to as well, that, you know, if you have that energy advantage and that athleticism advantage that the Suns come into most games with, despite having maybe a little bit less talent, you should be able to at least kind of make things interesting, keep things close after big leads do erupt, because they will. There's going to be games every night when the Suns are at a disadvantage early. The scoreboard doesn't go the way that they want it to, but they have the depth and the talent to at least keep things close, and they were unable to do that. So that actually takes us to the second number, which is 28. So about halfway through the first quarter, maybe even a little bit past that, maybe around the 4 or 5 minute mark left in the first quarter, the Suns actually had a lead, 13-9. And then I think again at 15-13 they led. But after that 13-9 lead, they were outscored by 28 at 106-78 for the remainder of the game. And to have things get out of hand that quickly and really be unable to fight back was really discouraging. Triano went to everybody at one point or another in this game. Even Derek Jones got in the game in garbage time, played 6 minutes. Jared Dudley came in toward the end of the third quarter, I believe, put up 2 shots, was sort of trying to orchestrate the defense against the Pelicans when they were starting to put the game away. Dragan Bender and Marquese Chris both took the court about 15 minutes each, really unable to do much at all. For either one of them, it was a real struggle for them to defend the Pelicans' bigs. Cousins and Davis are going to be a matchup problem regardless of who's playing, because of the versatility that I talked about earlier, as well as just the size that they bring. They're really, really remarkably physical players despite their talent. So, you know, Triano said today at practice that Cousins sort of, you could see him last night, look at the Pelicans bench, or look at the Suns bench, look at the crowd, and sort of just, you know, he knew what he was going to be able to do. Tyson Chandler's a veteran, but he's not where he was physically at his prime at almost 40 years old. Greg Monroe was the other starter last night in a little bit of a surprise, but he's playing his way back from a calf injury, still fairly unfamiliar with the Suns system, and honestly never a defensively elite player. He's much more known for what he can do as an offensive player, and even at his best defensive potential, he's more of a, you know, getting steals, clogging passing lanes, playing maybe with his hands a little bit more than his body on defense. So I think that of all teams, the Pelicans were not the best matchup that the Suns could have hoped for, especially as they leave for the 11-day road trip that I mentioned earlier. So you maybe hope that a team like that you can learn something from, and maybe you don't get spooked the way that you did on Friday night. But I would just say that getting outscored by 28 over the remainder of the game sort of does flow into that first point, that first statistic of the three-point shooting, which is that the game is long and there's going to be different things that happen throughout the course of it. So if a team comes out and shoots hot, you have that chance to come back, especially with the depth of being able to put a Josh Jackson in off the bench who can come in and play with a lot of energy, which he did in the second quarter. The end of the first quarter, into the second quarter, actually. He came in and he was really effective. He had two quick offensive rebounds. He was able to get a transition dunk. It kind of looked like maybe at that point the Suns were ready to mount a comeback. And that's the kind of thing that they should be able to do, especially in games, honestly, where Marquese Chris is coming off the bench with Jackson. Because if you can put Jackson, Chris, and Alex Len in as your backup front court, that is an advantage in quickness, in athleticism, that a lot of teams won't be able to match in their second unit. And obviously there's some of that responsibility comes on those guys to sort of maintain consistency and be able to play their game every night, and that's a work in progress as well. But I was really just disappointed in what the bench was able to do. And then, you know, the start of the second half, the starters had another chance to sort of set the tone, but Jameer Nelson, as I mentioned earlier, 8 assists, he had a plus 18. Dante Cunningham was really efficient, 4 of 5 shooting, only scored 9 points because he didn't get to the line. But you know, when guys like that are performing that well, it is a little bit frustrating to watch the Suns be unable to kind of do anything in a way throughout the course of the game. They really were unable to execute their game plan, and so that ended up becoming a 30-point blowout. You know, that's how those games go. The last number I wanted to look at is 3. It's actually a small number, but it's the number of fouls that Greg Monroe had. And I actually do think that did have an impact on what Jay Triano was able to do as a strategy in last night's game. It is difficult to game plan against two guys with the talent that Davis and Cousins have. And he also pointed today at practice to not only those two bigs, but the three point guards of Jameer Nelson, Drew Holiday, and Rajon Rondo that the Pelicans have sometimes all together on the court, but at the very least they have one of those guys at all times for sure, and that's its own matchup problem. But the way that they tried to combat those two bigs down low was to start with Monroe and Chandler, and it was a look we had seen before with those two guys on the court together, but never in the starting lineup. So it was interesting to see kind of what Monroe brought, and he did seem like, of all the players on the team, maybe the best shot at defending Cousins. They kind of are similar size. Monroe is not too big where you necessarily worry about him matching the foot speed of Cousins. I do think he's a decently mobile player, Monroe, but he got two quick fouls in the first quarter and then came back in the second quarter and eventually picked up another one. But I think that the calf injury that he's recovering from, combined with the way the score kind of got out of hand, it really made it so that Triano was unable to put Monroe back in. So those three fouls, I think, were quietly an impactful part of the game, because the game plan clearly going into it was to have two bigs in at all times. Triano did go to Len and Chandler at one point, but that's really a look that's never worked. I don't think that Len has the secondary skills on offense to complement somebody like Chandler, who really is going to only be effective around the rim or setting screens on the perimeter. So when Len was on the court with him, it did not go well, and Triano eventually moved away from that as well and sort of just used Chandler and Len either or on the court, and that sort of led to Bender and Chris getting their time, basically falling in line with what we've seen the rest of the season. Len was a minus six, which honestly, all things considered, wasn't too terrible compared to some other players on the team. He had four offensive rebounds and two blocks, which is sort of the consistency we've seen, but he was only 2 of 6 from the field, and like I said, that look when it was him and Chandler on the court together really did not work. So moving quickly through the storylines now, the biggest one I think for everybody was Devin Booker's poor night from the field. Poor night overall, really. He turned the ball over 6 times compared to only 1 assist, despite playing a few minutes here and there at the point guard position. He was 4 of 13 from the field and 0 of 5 from 3. There was a time, middle of the third quarter, I would say, when he started taking the ball down the court pretty much every time. Really looked to be aggressive. He shot a transition three at one point, kind of came off of a couple screens and put up shots, and it looked like maybe there was a chance that aggressiveness from him could really change the tide of the game, but unfortunately it didn't do that, and he sort of became frustrated, and there's the possibility that maybe he's dealing with a sickness. Obviously injury has been a decent amount of this team's problem throughout the year, but we haven't really heard too much from what Booker might have been dealing with, so maybe you toss it up to a rough game. Drew Holiday and Tony Allen is a really difficult defensive rotation for him to be matched up on. Holiday especially was really, really aggressive on the ball, jabbing the ball out of Booker's hands, kind of roughing him up as he came through screens, and doing a lot of the stuff that teams have been doing, but really executing that better than I've seen it. He had 5 steals on the night, Holiday did, and that was a lot of it, just denying Booker the ball almost every time that the offense funneled it toward him. The second storyline, I would say, is TJ Warren, who on paper had a decent night scoring the ball, had 18 points in 30 minutes, 7 of 14 from the field. He was one of the only Suns to even have anywhere near an efficient night scoring the ball. But his frustration at the end of the first half led to a technical foul that really showed the overall frustration of the team. It was about that time when it was becoming obvious that the team would not be winning the game, or that it was going to be a massive uphill battle for them to do so. But even then, you know, Warren didn't get a call going his way on offense, and then Rajon Rondo came down on the other end and crossed him up and got an easy layup. And I think it wasn't necessarily anything that Warren was doing wrong. It was more that he had gotten the brunt of what really just became a discouraging night. And so I do think it's nice that he was able to maintain his scoring ability in a tough game against a tough matchup. But I do wish that, you know, he could have funneled that frustration into his play slightly more, and maybe not had that get the best of him when he's, you know, one of the veterans on this team, one of the go-to options on this team. It sort of just happened where when he kind of exploded that way and got the technical called on him, it sort of made it feel like there was a lack of hope left for the Suns, and it shouldn't be happening that a veteran leader on the team is what's causing that to become apparent, and you'd hope that he'd be the guy leading the team back or kind of taking on a vocal role in a different way, a more positive way. So that was the second storyline for me. The third one would be Josh Jackson, I think. He did come in that second unit around the end of the first quarter, and it looked like he really was going to be leading something. whether that was an actual comeback to contest for the win or not was a different matter. But he really did look energetic like he always does, and he was effective when he first came in. But I think it was just a matter of that mental toughness that Triano talked about, and really trying to get your way even when the opponent has the physical advantage or has the skill advantage or has a game plan that's working better, you know, the ability to try different things and still be effective. And, you know, Jackson's had an inconsistent rookie season. He hasn't played his best every night, which is not to be expected of somebody coming right into the league like that. But I think it was just another indicator of how thoroughly the Pelicans overwhelmed the Suns. I think that's the word that came to mind most last night, was that the Suns were really overwhelmed a lot of the time trying to make things happen when there wasn't space to do so, and there wasn't a real way for them to get back into it. And so the blame isn't on Jackson, but it was, I guess, just another symptom of an overall bad night, that even Jackson's coming in with really high energy was unable to change the tide of the game in the second quarter. And then that was sort of it. So that 24-point loss will lead the Suns into a road trip that will take them out of Talking Stick Resort Arena until December 7th, when they host the Washington Wizards. And Evan will be there that night. I may be as well. We'll be taking you through the road trip, of course. But before we go today, I'd like to answer some mailbag questions from the Pelicans or the Suns subreddit, as I said. So the first one I had was Tyler Ulis. Question comes from Fouls Outrageous, and the question is, do you think Tyler Ulis has a chance of developing into a viable long-term point guard for the Suns? He says he watched him play all through college and believes he is significantly better than people give him credit for, but doesn't get brought up necessarily as often as he'd like the talent that Ulis has. I would say that fans were really excited about Ulis, and, you know, I was obviously intrigued when he started to perform so well, especially after being inserted by Earl Watson into the starting lineup toward the end of the year when Bledsoe was shut down. And I was hearing through the draft, even before that, that Ulis was being undersold as a point guard prospect, and that the defense wasn't necessarily as much of a concern as you might think for someone so small, and that his ability to pass and see the floor and handle the ball was really underrated and could shine through as a rotation player in the NBA. And I think we do see some of that from game to game. I do think he has, especially the low center of gravity, he does have a handle that is difficult to guard. I think he can get through the lane a lot better than I expected. I think he can find his own shot at the odd angles that he does much more easily than I expected. The problem is shooting it, you know. The problem is making those shots and affecting the offense in a positive way when he's not getting the easy looks that he can. So we've really seen very little of that, especially this season. And I don't necessarily think that the point guard rotation inconsistency has helped. Ulis was on the bench behind Bledsoe to start the season as Mike James was kind of getting assimilated onto the team. And then when Bledsoe was sent away, Ulis became the primary backup to James, and now he's the starter. So I think that that role might have something to do with it. But overall, as a prospect, I just don't know if it's something you can ever overcome to have trouble finishing over taller guys. I really struggle to see anything that he can do. A comment on the Reddit thread actually talks about his weight, and he's currently listed at 160 pounds, and there's a possibility that that could eventually pick up, and that maybe the bulk he puts on means when he goes up to try to finish over those guys that he has a little bit better chance. But I think he fights on defense as well as you could expect. He does kind of fall into screens, kind of die on screens more often than you'd like. I do think that there's ways, especially as the Suns branch out into more of an aggressive scheme defensively under Triano, where the player defending the ball handler jumps out a little bit more aggressively on the pick and roll. I do think Ulis could have a future in that sort of a system where he's able to play the passing lanes and contest shots above the pick. But right now, he just doesn't have a skill that makes him stand out as an elite player in any category. And I find it difficult to imagine, besides that ball handling and passing, how he could do that. But he's just at such a physical disadvantage every time he gets on the court that it's going to be a lot of work to where he can actually be playing consistently and affecting the offense in a positive way game to game. And so I'm interested to see where that goes. I do think he's played well the past couple games. He scored a lot in garbage time last night, but he was able to use the defensive matchup of Rajon Rondo to his advantage a little bit. So we'll see how that goes in the future. The second question is, after our early success of the Triano regime, we've regressed back to having very little team offense. And he also points out, the question comes from El Salvador Grande. He also points out that we've had better success on defense, but that without offense, you just can't win. And I do agree the larger point of the offense needs to probably be better than the defense, especially for a young team to have a chance to consistently win games. So I would disagree, though, on the team aspect of that. I do think the team offense has been very successful. They had three straight games before this one where they were over 28 assists. There were lots of details about that being the first time in several years that the Suns had success doing that. They were up to 32 at one point. I think it was in the Bulls game. They were up to 32 assists, and those are incredible numbers and really show the ability that Booker has developed to pass the ball, the success that James and Ulis are having as ball handlers, and just the ability of a lot of the different players on the team to share the ball and look for open teammates. But obviously, when you don't have the success, it's difficult to kind of pinpoint what that is. I think one thing that could eventually help is Triano and Booker working together to find a way to get him with the ball in his hands the majority of the time. And I hesitate to call him a point guard because I think different matchups do work with him. I think he could work with Mike James spotting up off the ball a little bit. And I don't think that Troy Daniels playing 25, 30 minutes a game as the primary two guard, if Booker were to do that, makes a ton of sense. And I also don't think Ulis should be completely out of the rotation. So there's a lot to figure out there, but I do think that the most successful the team has been for large spurts outside of a player catching fire here or there has been when Booker is able to put the ball in his hands and make plays passing off the pick and roll, off of screens, catching the ball himself, driving down and kind of creating space in the corners. He has those skills and he has the vision to make those passes. So I think that the team basketball we have seen, aside from finding open shooters when the ball's sort of pinging around, that stuff is definitely contagious and something that a young team like this is clearly learning from. But as far as what's consistently going to show up, I think Booker's ability to penetrate and kick is going to be the key there. I don't think that it's fair to say that there hasn't been any team offense, but I do think that's one way where it can improve. And then the other point about the defense I think is true, although I think it might be a little flipped here. The person asking the question, I think you might be, as far as the last few games, the Suns have allowed 142, 122, 113, 113, 115 in the past five games. And they've been scoring above 100 every night. So I think the defense has actually been a bigger problem recently. And last night was more of the same. They were allowing open shots left, right. They were allowing guys to get into the paint left and right. That's the problem that needs to be solved first. And, of course, Triano's improved leaps and bounds over what we saw the first three games under Watson this year. But I would say the offense has been a lot better than the defense. And individual defense and rotating and those kinds of things are, to me, a much bigger overall problem and one we have seen regression with quite a bit. So thank you to those people who asked questions on Reddit. I hope we can continue to use this as the source of our mailbag questions. Twitter, you guys gotta come on. at Locked On PHX Suns. We got no mailbag questions from Twitter today, but Reddit pulled through, and so I hope you guys enjoyed those. I hope you took a little bit away from the Pelicans game, even though it was a 24-point loss. We'll hopefully be back at least one more time this weekend. Maybe Evan and I both talking Bledsoe's return. We were unable to recap that game. Maybe a guest or two in the coming weeks. And like I said, Evan will be back on Monday. So one more time, at Locked On PHX Suns on Twitter, and we will see you guys later.